What up, everybody? This is Double G for the Fight Game podcast here after the go-home show to AEW Full Gear, which is this weekend. According to Moxley, it was either on Sunday or Saturday. I believe it's on Saturday. Poor John had such an off night tonight, and very rare that you see him have an off night. Unfortunate that it was a go-home show to the pay-per-view, too. I was just, we're going to play a preview of Full Gear that I did with Paul Fontaine and Jeff Hawkins of the Dynamite Show on our Fight Game Media Network Patreon. And so we go through almost all the matches. We kind of wrapped up a few of the matches without talking about them too much, but they were not very excited about that show coming off of this go-home show. And I completely get it because the main event angle, which, you know, the main event is what you sell your show with. Like, this is what people are going to pay their money to see. That there was a little, it feels like there's an indecision. Like, what are we supposed to think? What are we supposed to feel? Who are we supposed to root for? What outcome do we want to see? Mm-hmm. You know, the bookers that we grew up on, even though you wanted to see the match, you wanted to see the result, you kind of could tell, like, this guy is hot. He's my favorite. I want him to win so badly. And the business decision may have been that as well. Like, that's the right guy to win. I feel like there's a little bit of a hedge here. I can't tell if, I'm assuming that MJF wins this title. Like, it's kind of his time and and everything. But what they're selling as the go-home angle, it's a little bit in between. Like, nobody's really picking a side and going, like, I'm gonna win this match because of X, or the other guy's not saying I'm gonna win this match because of Y. They're just kind of in the middle on everything, and I was like, I don't think I should feel indecision on the go home show in the main event for the world title here.
Yeah, I mean, week after week now, each week as it goes by leading up to this pay per view, getting less and less hype for that main event. At first, it felt like a really big match, and then now, especially after this go home face to face promo deal, it just maybe, like, I don't even know what match I'm really looking forward to now on that pay per view as much, but it just was really disappointing. The whole thing with the Firm coming out and, you know, Max coming to make the save, and that was poorly done and not exciting. And I don't know. This crowd obviously was an MJF crowd for sure.
Yeah.
They're definitely, Mox was definitely getting very audible boos. And maybe that threw him off. Maybe that threw him off a little bit in this promo. I don't know. It was a strange way to kind of, for the go home show, I thought. Yeah. You know, at least for the main event. But
all right, before we get into this show, they announced the Bay Area. AEW coming to the Bay Area. And we have been talking about this a bit because I know that people around here, some of the wrestlers around here, were kind of told a certain date. March 1st, which is a Wednesday, and March 3rd, which is a Friday, are both scheduled to be at the Cow Palace, which is kind of fun. Pretty fun to go to that building. I'm sure that's a dream of Tony Khan to book wrestling in that building. And what I'm assuming, I don't know this for sure, but just sort of what we've been told, is that Revolution was going to be that same weekend and that would be at the Chase Center. Now, they haven't announced that yet. I'm assuming they're going to announce that at the pay-per-view on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big week, man. I told my wife, I was like, I think I'm going to have to take off like Wednesday through Friday that whole week because I'm just going to be so involved in whatever's going on.
Yeah,
and it's going to be fun because people will be coming from out of town, and, you know, we're kind of the de facto hosts of the weekend. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be doing a ton of content on this website, also on for the Fight Game stuff. So it's going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it, but it's still 4.5 months away, so it's not too soon here.
Yeah, the tickets are already going on sale like next week, right?
The 25th, so Black Friday, I think. That's Black Friday, right?
Oh, yeah, next week. Yeah, next week, next Friday. God, man, I can't wait. It's like a little.
But you got to get your Christmas presents. That's why. Got to get it in for Christmas.
It's true. That's true. I'll tell the family. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't. I'll figure it out some way to get there, I'm sure.
Yeah. We'll be there, at least for some of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to go to all three shows. I know I always regret going to Rampage, but it's just, you know, it's just going and seeing people and hanging out with people, which makes it a little bit more fun than the show necessarily is.
Yeah.
All right. Because I want to get through this Dynamite review and I want to go to my preview with Paul Fontaine and Jeff Hawkins, which is about 40 minutes. I would like us to go a little bit shorter than normal, and I think we can because my notes, I usually take a lot of notes for this show, and it was a little bit less this week for whatever reason. So
yeah, same with me.
So let's get through this Dynamite review here. Show started with Jericho and Sammy Guevara against Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli. Started off hot, and Sammy was being that dick heel that we really liked from last week. Jericho hit, I think this broke my heart more than anything on the show, and it's such a small thing in comparison, but Jericho hits Danielson square in the eye with his bat, and it did not lead to the finish.
No.
You know what it led to?
Picture in picture, baby.
Picture in picture.
And I had that in my notes too. I was like, why would you waste
dead, right?
For that?
It's got to be dead now. Like, you can't use it anymore. Like, if you use it, it's just kind of like a punch.
Yeah, Floyd's done.
He's done.
What about, like, one thing did pop me in this match is when Guevara and Jericho did a little pose and Sammy did a little break dance.
Yeah.
And Taz called him out on the break dance Taz's like, you know, putting it over. And then Rick Bynum's like, he popped me when he said that, you know, when Sammy did a breakdance, he said, when Mark Young ever won a match doing the breakdancing, you remember Mark Young, the Chief State Strongbow's kid that used to do the breakdancing?
No, I don't remember this.
From the 80s, he used to come out with the red, white, and blue tights and do breakdancing. And he did like jobs on WWF TV for like 87, 88.
Oh, wow. Then, I don't know why. I'll have to look it up and see.
And then like in 88 or 89, he shows up at NWA at Center Stage, you know, and that's Georgia, the predominantly African-American audience. And he's doing the breakdance and the whole audience is just laughing at him. So, but I don't know, you know, Rick Bryan popped me with that line. But this match I thought was kind of there. I don't know, like kind of like the whole show. It was kind of ho-hum.
Yeah. Ian Riccaboni had, this was his critique of Chris Jericho being a heel. Jericho is becoming what he despises, the best ROH champion. I was like, huh?
I like that Ian Riccaboni's like back to a commentary after being attacked a couple times.
Yeah, and they just make fun of it because Taz and Shivani, I don't think that there's alcohol involved on this show because I think they're professionals. But these dudes are out on the collapsible chairs right next to the barbecue, just like shooting the stuff. Like that's how they treat this broadcast now. I was like, come on, we need this is still a show that you need to sell. Like, what are you guys gonna do if Excalibur ever gets sick, man?
Put Jim Ross in there, man. Miss that guy.
Yeah, but then Jim will just treat it like a barbecue too, because that's what he was doing before he left. And that's what he does on Rampage.
Sometimes it's better than the matches going on.
I know, yeah. I know. It's like a podcast. It's actually a pretty good podcast, but I actually want to know what I'm watching and what I'm supposed to be noticing. So Claudio has Jericho, and he's about to go for the giant swing, but Sammy comes in with a very well-timed super kick. Jericho with the walls on Claudio. Danielson with a missile drop kick to break it up. Sammy misses the GTH, and Danielson tries to maneuver it into the bell lock, but he can't get it. Jericho line salt on Danielson. Claudio breaks it up. Giant swing on Jericho while he has the bat in his hands. This bat, which hurt nobody, is in his hands. The referee is like, okay. He drops Jericho, who still has the bat in his hands, and he puts him in
Scorpion Deathlock.
Puts him in Scorpion Deathlock. Jericho was on his back, still having the bat in his hands. Aubrey did not steal it from him, and then Claudio just took it from him, mm-hmm. and he's posing with the bat on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Like he's Barry Bonds while he's got Scorpion Deathlock in, and Jericho taps out. I thought the bat thing was a little too cute, but I did like the finish. I thought the finish was good.
Well, after, you know, before that, Claudio gets a giant swing, Danielson does this, you know, crazy tope onto Sammy Guevara on the outside, right?
Yeah.
And so when here's Jericho grabbing the bat, you show the camera like, shh, I got it, you know? And then like Excalibur's like, the referee's not, doesn't see this. They show Ref Aubrey, she is not even looking like her eyes aren't going towards Sammy or Brian. She's turned her back to look away. Just trying to like find something that's distracting her while she can't see what's going on. And then I was like, this is just, the result was right. It's just, this match was blah.
So we got a video, and this is setting up their four-way. So we got the video package with MJF and Moxley. Lots of video packages on this show building up the matches, which was good. We see, it looks like a music video. It does like a Chris Isaacs music video or something. Sting is driving.
Game is game we play.
Sting is driving, finds Darby in a body bag, grabs him, throws him in the car, and he just keeps driving. Darby unzips himself out of the body bag.
Bleeding.
And then Sting gives his catchphrase that it's showtime. And then they show Jeff Jarrett, and he's like, it's not showtime. It's going to be the last time, which that was a good line. You know, on the interview with Paul and Jeff, which people will hear, I mentioned that, you know, this nostalgia of this match is going to work because Sting and Jeff Jarrett. But the reason it works is because you have the two workers in the ring as well. So that's why I think this is going to be pretty decent. Like, I hope we don't see Jeff Jarrett every week, but for this kind of match, the nostalgia, I think it's going to work, and I think it's going to be good.
It'll be a fun match. That tag team match was fun. But this whole Darby Allin Sting video package, I just didn't even get it. He's body surfing in a body bag, and I just don't understand. This didn't make any sense to me. And then the Lethal and Jarrett promo thing was so quick. Didn't have any kind of impact. So, you know.
Bowens against Swerve. When this match was announced, I was like, okay, I'm really excited about this match. It's a great opportunity for two young guys who are in tag teams to show their stuff. Caster comes out and he does his rap. And he said Swerve was on his cycle. Did he mean steroids or did he mean PMS?
You know what? I can't hear some of the lyrics. So
I'm going to assume he meant PMS. But
PMS.
I would just be careful about using that term cycle on a wrestling show.
I'm guessing PMS. He's not talking about steroid cycle. Because I wouldn't say that, you know, Strickland's a steroid guy, but you just never know. You know.
Yeah. He also says a line, which popped a lot of people who are very close to this pro wrestling media stuff. He had a line about Swerve and his family in the dirt sheets. And
yeah, what was that about?
Who he was talking about is none other than Will Washington, somebody who I've interviewed on our Fight Game Media YouTube channel.
That's right.
And Will does stuff for Fightful. He has the podcast with Righteous Reg, and I forget the other guy's name. But that was a little cute line about, you know, Will Washington, because he and Swerve are cousins. So Will Washington in the dirt sheets, that was good. Fightful, Sean got a kick out of it. I saw.
Did he mention Keith Lee's weight gain?
I don't know. I know he mentioned Jay Leno getting burned in his car crash.
The music video, though. Like he mentioned, I think, something about Keith Lee's weight gain or something.
Okay, so this music video, they've been teasing this. Captain Insano was in the beginning of this music video.
Is this what Paul White was been teasing in the a couple months ago? Like,
well, I think Tony Khan buy the character, or he got something and they were excited about what they were going to do with Captain Insano.
Was this it?
I don't know.
I hope they don't have. Oh, God. I mean, it's fine for this, but I don't want to see, you know, Paul White running around as Captain Sano.
Yeah. So this video, this music video, was just them making fun of Swerve in Our Glory. It reminded me a little bit of when Tupac would do his videos and there would be, he would just make fun of Puffy and Biggie. And like one of the characters would mm-hmm. be Piggy Smalls, like just yeah. making fun of the guys. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Yeah. The song itself, a little bit too inside pro wrestling for it to kind of hit, I think, other than anywhere in pro wrestling. I kind of like Max's flow. It reminded me a little bit of, now, I don't know if you heard the John Cena album, but he had his second single was called Right Now. And it was a little bit of like a throwback song, but he had the same kind of flow, same kind of cadence like that Max had in this song. But overall, I mean, it was fine. It was completely.
Yeah, I just couldn't hear his lyrics. I was like, maybe he's going, I don't know. I couldn't hear some of his stuff. So I was missing a lot of it, but I'm sure it was clever. My favorite part was the beginning when, like you said, they had the characters of Swerve and Keith Lee, and that Keith Lee calls up the Keith Lee character. He's all talking so articulate, you know. I got a chuckle out of it.
Yeah,
this is what they should have done. I've said this many times before. This is where you should debut the Acclaim. Six mm-hmm. weeks of just straight vignettes. Each music video was a promo on a AEW tag team that they're talking about. And when they come in, it's like they just should be just hated, or they probably would have got, I don't know, they would have got over that way as baby faces. But, you know, they could have just kept cutting promos and doing music videos on each tag team AEW. Then they debut in the ring. Then they win a match and so on and so on. But, yeah. You know, this stuff's clever when they do it with the Raffies. They need to do more of those.
Yeah. So then the match, I thought this was a fun match. Swerve was working on the shoulder arm area of Bowens. I thought Bowens was really good selling. And then, like, Swerve just hits his stomp, and then he hits his driver. What do they call it? Is it the JML driver?
Finish. It's like a cradle driver. I don't know.
And then he just won. I was like, wow, that was a very impressive win for Swerve here, but I thought the match was good. I thought it was a really fun match.
The match was missing something. I don't know what it was missing, but also I didn't like the finish. I didn't like Bowens being beaten flat like that as a baby face. I thought this, if anything that needed some shenanigans going to the finish, should have been this match to kind of, you know, let Swerve steal one, get some heat going, some more heat going into the pay-per-view tag team match. But I mean, he just beat him flat. And I know there's like, well, he kicked out of the jumping sidekick that Swerve does as a finish many times. He kicked out of the double stomp on the top rope, Swerve has done for finish. But all that does is it doesn't make you strong. That's like a stupid, like, modern wrestling thing. Like, oh, it's going to make you look strong if you kick out a couple of my big moves. But then I finally beat you right in the middle. It's like, no, it doesn't make you look strong. And I just think – I thought it actually didn't do anything good for Acclaimed here. I know they're trying to get some momentum for Swerve, but he should have cheated to win. Pull tights, you know, do something, or I don't know, but not beat him flat in the middle.
We got a Nyla and Jade video package about their match. Then we had Tony Schiavone and Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe got to do his heel interview. Wardlow didn't recognize the most dangerous person in the room, and he paid the price. Joe mm-hmm. wasn't going to wait for Wardlow to turn on him and become a victim and take what he has. Hobbs comes down. This is what confused me. Hobbs, the heel, comes down to face Joe face to face. Wardlow's music plays, and he comes from behind to beat up Joe.
Stupid. Like, babyface tagging from behind. The heel is confronting the other tough guy face to face. It's just stupid.
It was backwards to me. Every possible person that you could think of who wrestled on AEW Dark came out and separated the three guys.
Yeah.
and it was like, you know, it was kind of there's mm-hmm. it was their wannabe Lesnar and Lashley thing, and everyone was separating them, but Wardlow broke through once and did a flip dive over the top onto like 20 guys.
I feel like this segment always happens like that. Like, there's a big old pull apart, and then one guy dives on it to kind of end the segment. It's just, I think instead of doing Joe and Wardlow here to doing the turn here, like, what if she just saved it, let him build some history between each other before Joe turned on him, or vice versa. And then they should have had Hobbs ready for this match, instead of having Hobbs lose his feud to Ricky Starks. And then it's just so forced and so shoehorned in my opinion. I don't know. People are excited. Some people I saw, people are really excited about this match, because I think they see three big guys. Yeah. But
I mean, it can be a fun match. But
it can be. I wish it meant more, though. Yeah. You know, and because that turn was like, I mean, Joe did his best, like, to try to get some heat out there. Like, he was doing his best trying to sell this thing, but Joe, I don't think, is a heel at this point in his career. He's been there too long. Not that in promotion, but just in wrestling too long. People love him. Like, look, he comes out. Look at that whole crowd. That was probably the loudest you've ever heard that crowd this all night, was chanting Joe, 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 right? And then he had like a trickle of fans saying Wardlow, and that was it. And, you know, so I don't think it's smart to turn Joe. I think you could have done if you built it up correctly, a really cool, like, hey, this, you know, you had this veteran, you know, tough guy in Samoa Joe, and he's going to take on the young gun in Wardlow. Not Bayface heel deal, just the past and present versus the future, okay? That's mm-hmm. what I kind of would like to see, but I don't know. This is just all rushed.
Another thing that confused me is the next immediate segment, which is Britt Baker doing the best underdog babyface promo you've ever heard.
Yeah, what's up with that? They just recognize Saraya's been like a heel, so they're just when her promo, I guess, to this fan base.
Okay, when this match gets started in the ring, it's not going to get the crowd reaction that they thought it was going to be when they started this feud.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be. It's got to be like 75% Brit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's going to be. It's maybe more with this audience. It's going to be very pro Britt Baker, and this match, I highly recommend them keeping it short, but we'll see.
The next match is the weekly John LaRocca Invitational. Top Flight and AR Fox versus the Death Triangle. To me, this was like the AR Fox showcase, and he's the only one that's like not on the team. So,
well, he's like, what, 50, they say he lives 50 minutes away. That's why he got such a great reaction.
I think the only time I've ever seen him...
50 miles away, I guess, whatever.
I think I saw him. Was he a part of the Santa Clara WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah. That's when, I don't even think someone threw a grenade down his pants, he would have lost a match. Like, they were hitting him with every move in the world. I remember, like, he kept kicking out, and I was just like, fuck this guy. Like, I remember that's when my buddy and I were like, you know, because we have the two Evolve shows.
Yeah.
The first Evolve show, we're just like, dude, how many leg slaps should we see? And like, my buddy, I'm not gonna name name because he's a worker, he was like, yeah, I'm gonna count. And he had his little towel, and it was like, we're halfway through the show, we're up to like damn near 100 leg slaps. Like, it was ridiculous.
You guys are dicks.
Yeah. And AR Fox was like the worst, because he's clearly, you know, not even hiding it, jumping in the air, and Jericho does this too, like jumps in the air for a drop kick and claps over his head. Like, what is that? Like, I don't ever see remember seeing Tommy Rogers do that, or Jim Brunzel do that. Like, what the hell? Geeks.
Oh man. You know, he lost the match, but this was definitely the AR Fox, like, let's showcase this guy. It's almost like, I mean, who agents this stuff? It's almost like the agent was like, okay, you want to get signed, here's what we're gonna do.
Maybe Billy Gunn. I remember I know someone was at an AEW show, and Billy Gunn was the agent, and, you know, the geese wasn't really even like with the guys before the match. And then the whole time, like in the back, as the match was going on, that he was quote unquote agenting, he was just sitting there talking to his boys. And the guys come back and like, oh, what'd you think? What did we do? Did we do anything wrong? Anything learning? He's like, no, look great. The guys look great out there. He didn't even watch the match. Oh, man. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they just get, these guys came up with it on their own. Like the whole thing with like Phoenix and Darius, you know, their little dance routine. It's just, you know what this is. You know, it's funny. Like I was thinking like, okay, if Darius was going to be ready at this time, why put Dante in that title eliminator tournament to have him lose the first round? Why don't you just kind of like, I don't know, like do like some vignettes of telling a story about the trials and tribulations that Dante, Darius Martin had to go through, and now Top Flight's united, and now they're gonna make a return on Dynamite, and you know what? They win the match, not lose the match, right? Like, I like that team. I think that's the perfect for them. You know, Dante, I think, is better to be in the tag team with his brother. And I want to just feature him something new, so a new team to face the Guns and to face FTR and stuff like that. So where were they at? Where's FTR at?
I don't know. They're not on the show. They're not on the pay-per-view.
Where's the Kingdom at? They got smashed by Wardlow. I was thinking today,
I mean, unless they're going to do something with the Elite.
I was like, where's the... Oh, as the Kingdom and Elite?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so then next was the interview. So Pac wins with the Black Arrow at the end. He didn't even use the hammer. And this interview, and Pac is making reference to these videos, these guys, you know?
He doesn't want to say the name.
You know what? We want the match. We're going to accept this match. And all of a sudden, after we've been just getting this tease after tease after tease after tease after tease, we get a graphic with none other than the Elite on this graphic. You got to go one way or the other way. If you want to do this surprise thing, hold off the surprise until the stupid pay-per-view. Like,
yeah,
just go that way. Or put these guys on TV to sell the pay-per-view.
Yep.
Why would you put a graphic up? It feels like you just decided at the last minute, I can't go through with this. Like, we have to sell the pay-per-view. Okay, why aren't the Elite on TV? Well, I want to save them. The graphic, I feel... like the graphic was the worst thing you could have done here.
Yeah, I was like, really? That was it? That's what we've been building with these vignettes and just this. And it's funny because I don't know if when they showed the graphic and they showed the Elite appearing on the graphic, I don't know if the mic of the crowd at that moment was very low because it sounded like no one cared, like other than like a golf clap. And maybe that's what they thought. Like, I don't know, but I'm sure it was a lot louder, that reaction. I'm pretty sure it was. It just didn't come across on television. So it doesn't feel like a big deal. And I don't know. I wasn't into this. And we're going to get the same match we just saw.
Yeah, it all out. You
know, yeah, same match. So,
Pac says, finally, some transparency. I think that was a shot at Tony Khan.
You think so?
If I use the word transparency when it came to this company, it would be a shot at Tony Khan.
Yeah.
All right. Ricky Starks does an interview about his match on Friday. It's still in the first round, right?
Yeah. So is it going to be another three-way at the pay-per-view? Because Brian Cage is technically... Well, no, he's in the semifinals. He's not in the finals.
Are they going to do... Someone said this. I can't remember who said it.
It was Kevin Ely on the Boom Show.
So he said they're going to do the match at Rampage, and then they're going to do a match at the Zero Hour, or they're going to do two matches at the pay-per-view or something like that?
I thought he mentioned the same episode of Rampage. He thought maybe...
Oh, so he's two matches at Rampage.
Yeah. Got I bet. Well, it's one of those deals where, like, Starks narrowly beats Archer, and then out comes Cage, and oh, yeah, this is the semifinal, and it's happening right now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, that would suck. I don't understand why they
that
even...
stuff doesn't that stuff barely works with a heel yeah. GM.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever without that part.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because, like, it makes AEW the heel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you want this guy to have to wrestle twice in
so
one night?
So my hope is that they put the semifinals on the 0 hour.
I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. Because they didn't really announce anything for that 0 hour yet, right?
Well, they announced... they haven't, because I think we're probably going to get another thing with Eddie Kingston and Takeshita or Jun Akiyama.
Probably a singles match for... Who's winning that match? Is Takeshita losing again? Or is Eddie losing again?
No, can it be Ortiz?
Ortiz.
Ortiz is there?
Yeah, he ain't doing much. Might as well beat Ortiz. Yeah, it's going to be...
You know the Ortiz... You know I see Ortiz every time I go to Target?
Hmm?
There's one AEW wrestling figure that has been at my Target in the same spot for about four months.
Okay. I was like, what?
And it is Ortiz. I almost want to buy it just so that it's not sitting there.
Don't do it.
I don't know. I wonder how long it can go with the one single Ortiz figure.
Just wait till it's $5 on the clearance rack. It's about ready to go there anyway.
I mean, it's a cool figure. He's making a cool face, but
yeah.
All right. So then we had Ethan Page. They didn't have enough time for him to actually cut a promo in the ring, so he had to do his promo while he was walking down the ramp.
He saw that's the best reaction you got. Like, fuck. They ain't giving the elite any reaction, so don't worry about it, pal.
All right, so this match was a match in which the crowd cared about one person, and it was not Ethan Page.
Yeah.
So when he won, he hit like a shoulder block off the top rope, and then he hit his ego's edge.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd was just like, F this entire show. Like, we're not cheering anything after this match.
Well, they weren't really cheering much before it. But yeah, the firm's not even over. Ethan Page, you know, trying to heat him up again. But so much, like, on TV for a little bit, then off TV for a long time. Can never get anything behind him. And plus they debuted him in a way that I thought it was, you know, in that Joker in that ladder match on the pay-per-view, and he didn't even win it. So who cares? I mean, Bandido, I mean, I actually thought the match was fine.
Yeah.
Bandido, I thought he looked good. I think he probably looked better than he's looked far.
Well, he's not in a spot fest. He was in, I mean, he's still doing his stuff, but the match was an actual match. It wasn't just spot.
That match with Roosh was horrible.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, and Roosh, man, I'm shocked I've seen this guy lose so much.
Well, you know? He didn't get pinned clean, that's for sure.
Oh, I know. Oh, God, when Bandido beat him for the ROH title, he didn't put over Bandido. he lost, but he didn't put him over. And then the heels kicked Bandido's ass after he won the belt. Oh, God. I was talking to someone who was working in the office at ROH about at that time, and I was, you know, saying that. About that and how he didn't like that, and he's like, "Yeah, lucha gonna lucha."
Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus video package. Renee said that it's just these two guys inside the cage, and that's it. Sure, it's only going to be these two guys in the cage. Christian is involved here somehow in this cage match. I'm assuming.
Where's hanging Adam Page?
Hurt?
I bet he comes out and is he hurt?
Remember, he got hurt on the clothesline. Remember?
Oh yeah.
And they haven't said about this guy.
Maybe he's gonna come back and he's gonna. Maybe he's gonna use the hammer on Pac for the league to win. And now they're all gonna go too sweet in the middle of the ring and be like, "We tried to do the NWO again for the sixth time."
Soraya with Renee. The problem with her is it's too easy to see through her because the people who know or the people who follow know that she's not here necessarily by choice. Mm-hmm. WWE didn't renew her contract. That's the reason. Now, maybe she would have eventually made it here and she wants to wrestle. I'm not saying that that is not the case. But when she says, Britt called her out, like, I was the one during the pandemic wrestling at Daly's place, blah, 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 blah. And Saraya just goes, oh, it's not like I didn't want to be here. It's like, you weren't here. Like, that's the point. It just was not, you didn't believe it. When she was talking, you didn't believe it. And no. The character is not doing very well here. And I think she's going to get booed like crazy at this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They should definitely do a double turn, I guess. But I don't know. That kind of ruins what Jamie Hayter's doing, right?
Yeah.
So.
Anna Jay and Toni Storm. This was supposed to be the bunny, right? But the bunny.
She had an illness or something?
She was sick or something.
Yeah. I wish her a speedy recovery. Is this match still going? I felt like this was going forever.
Toni wins. She hits the butt to the face in the corner, and then a Texas cloverleaf for the tap out.
Did you see when Toni Storm hit the butt bump on while Anna Jay was on the apron, and she got, you know, she bumped her off the apron. Yeah. Toni Schiavone called it sweet cheek music. And it.
I think he's called it that once before.
Oh, has he? First time I heard it. Oh, so.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's good. Yeah. But that's what happens when you're just doing a podcast while matches are happening in the ring. You can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter comes in for a face-off, and they just talk smack, and it's a good match. I'm interested. I think Hayter's going to win. Toni Storm is in the opening video package, it seems like they really like her. But I think it's time. I think Hayter needs to win here.
Yes, I would hope so. Toni just has been really cold as a champion. He just, you know, and I think I'm hoping they have a really good match. I think this is the because they're both talented. I think they can both go out there and have probably if not the best women's match in AEW history, wrestling match wise. And I think, I kind of hope that happens. You know, I like to see that from them.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Jamie Hayter comes out with that music, I just flash back to my rave days. You know what I mean? Like, I had a little run at the raving time and I was like, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Okay. What was the rave club in the Bay Area back then?
I don't know, these underground stuff. We just would show up and try to find it. And yeah, you know, I was young and dumb, you know, doing stupid stuff. But I just remember that reminds me of like when that song hits. It's like the rave days running around. And yeah, I never told you about this.
I mean, you've mentioned it before, but.
All right. Yeah. Proud, but yeah.
I mean, you're just a kid. What do you.
I know. I was just a kid. But yeah, every time I hear that song, I like that song, though. I dig her entrance. She has a really good presence, man. She's a star. Let's hope she wins. But are they not going to put on there because Toni Khan feels like he has to do Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm?
Oh, God. We don't need to see that again.
I hope. I mean, does anyone even care about Thunder Rosa at this point? Like,
well, I think I think I read in the Observer she was on her way back or something.
Yeah, she was coming back soon. She said that's all I saw her, like her quote she did on, I think it was on me, Busted Open Radio or something like that she did, but some podcast interview. And it was like, yeah, I'm on my way back soon. I'm like, yeah, well, of course you're going to say that. You know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. So then we get the rundown. I was very thankful we got the rundown because I missed it last week when they only showed the graphics during the main event. Mm-hmm. Lee Moriarty versus Hook on Rampage. Athena versus Madison Rayne. Ricky Starks versus Lance Archer. Kingston and Ortiz versus Jun Akiyama and Takeshita. Talks about the countdown to Full Gear. And then he ran down the entire card, which I will do in the second part of the show with Paul and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the main event segment, which left a lot to be desired here.
Yeah.
Jon Moxley comes out first. You can't hurt him. He did his research on MJF. He shat on the wannabe Pillman stuff and the ladder match with the worst ending he's ever seen. I'm guessing that's a shoot as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe Tony Khan's like, yeah, for the promo, can you like go over this whole history? And Mox in his head just rolling his eyes, like, okay. Now he's just being frustrated. He's like talking really. He's just like, he's letting his real feelings about the having held this backstory, like, you know, about what led up to this moment. You know, Mox was definitely a little bit tongue tied on this promo here.
He's not shaking in his boots.
No.
And then he said, MJF is dripping with insecurity and he is playing pro wrestler. He is someone who is fearful that he won't live up to the hype. He is challenging MJF on the pay-per-view to show him something. Stokely comes out, Lee Moriarty and the rest of the firm come out. He's able to fend off a couple of them, but then he gets beat up. Regal is in the corner. They're not really putting the boots to Regal. They're just more or less holding him there. And out comes the savior, MJF. He drops the ass boys with one clothesline each, I think. Yeah. And then he drops Moriarty. Morrissey grabs him in like a choke slam way, and he gives it away, man. He took a look at Morrissey's junk for a good 2.5 seconds before he kicked him low.
Yeah.
He teased it. He's like, it's coming. Get ready for it. You better let go. Didn't let go. So he got kicked in the balls. Ethan Page, then he hit him low as well. And Regal had his fist balled up. Regal was ready to go. MJF got the mic and said, he just started repeating the same stuff. This was like not a great segment for MJF either.
I don't think it was best promo. I think it's very like by the numbers promo, it felt like.
Something about he's the devil and he was about to do his catchphrase and Mox finally gets up right before he does the MJF catchphrase. And then he says, at Full Gear, the training wheels come off. I don't like these lines in this case because MJF already had a title match against him the first time. So this is technically his second match, right? He's no longer really a rookie. And
no.
Mox is treating it like he's a rookie. Then they're running down the pay-per-view and Mox says Sunday. He's like, or is it Saturday? I don't know. And he asked MJF and MJF's like, yeah, I think it's Saturday. Oh, and then he finishes his line and he drops the mic and he starts to walk away. And then he remembers
face off.
Oh, shoot. I got to do the face off in the middle of the ring. He comes back.
See, I don't know, man. What was up with Mox, dude?
Bad night.
Maybe he's just like so pissed that because, you know, I'm sure he's a perfectionist, right?
Yeah.
You know more than me. And I'm guessing he just, it was his night. You know what I mean? He's just like, I get the fuck out.
I don't talk to him about wrestling stuff. We talked about,
I know,
but we talked about the UFC show though, the Michael Chandler and Dustin Poirier fight. That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
He pulled a fish hook on Poirier.
Did he?
When is the last time we saw a fish hook?
Is that legal?
No, but the referee didn't see it. I think Dave thinks it was accidental.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also, and this is what Mox sent me. I guess he rewatched the match.
Mm-hmm.
He blew, cause he had bloody nose and like blood was coming out of his nose and it was just dripping on Dustin, who's on the bottom. And Mox thinks that Chandler blew the blood out of his nose into Dustin's eyes.
yeah, that's a good idea.
Like a heel, man.
I can't believe the referee missed the fishhook. Oh, yeah. Glad to see Rick Knox is also doing MMA.
I didn't see it live. But Dustin was mad about something after the match. He was like really mad about cheating or something. And then he had to awkwardly shake his hand while he was doing his interview about him cheating.
Wait, did Chandler win?
No, Dustin won.
Okay, good. Because I was 4-1 on my picks. Yeah. I picked Poirier. Okay, good.
All right. So that is it. That is your show. That is your AEW Dynamite. That is your go home show to Full Gear. Now,
wah, wah, wah.
this was not a good go home show. I am not feeling the anticipation for this pay per view, but what I am excited about is me, you, David Rubio, aka the Heartbreak Kid, Brian Ruano. We're no Dave this weekend because Dave's on vacation. So we're coming to my house. We're getting some DoorDash.
No Mary?
You know what? I don't even. I should probably. You know what? I could probably reach out to her on Twitter. I don't think I have her number. You know, but my wife does because they. Mm-hmm. She had her. She had the kids.
Come
in the
on down.
But yeah. But also, just this is like a real wrestling pay-per-view party. Like yeah. People probably think that that's what it is at Dave's, but it's not really like that because it's really just. Let's everyone go to Dave's house and we're just going to chit chat and watch the show. But it's not like a hosted event. It's not like Dave's like, guys, I bought some sandwiches. They're on the kitchen table. Grab them. Got
here's
some.
Here's a security board.
Got some Diet Cokes in the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, just go ahead. Go like Dave is so focused on the show.
One time he did offer me banana.
Yeah, he will. He will.
if it's
between the match and he can actually go get some food, he'll offer it. But we're gonna make it like a like an old school pay per view party, man. It's gonna feel like back in the day.
There's no need to do like the halfway rush to 7-Eleven.
No.
Yeah, we'll do DoorDash.
And I know this is not gonna be you because you are very disciplined about not doing this while you have to drive, but you know, there will be an opportunity for a glass of bourbon if anybody wants one.
Oh yeah.
Maybe a little bit of Terramana to watch the show. Maybe to make the show better. You never know.
I might have something when I get home after the headache I get after. I really think the finish of the main event is gonna be very polarizing.
I mean, what do they do? Like, it just seems like MJF's going to win. I don't know. I mean, I think we expect him to cheat.
I 100%. He's going to use the glass. He's going to use the ring for sure.
Yeah.
I think he has to use the ring, but I hope he doesn't, like, Mox doesn't kick out. Well, so what if Mox wins?
That'd be crazy if he wins.
You think people will be upset?
He might turn heel if he wins.
Okay, well, we said 75% to 80% of fan cheering for Britt Baker versus Saray, right? What's the percentage for Mox and MJF, you think, for the pay-per-view? 50-50?
50-50, but I could see it leaning towards 60-40, especially if Mox takes a lot of the match.
No, I'm talking about the crowd reaction.
Yeah. I think if Mox is taking a lot of the match and MJF, if the story is that he's like the rookie underdog, I think the fans will get behind him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little more on the MJF side. I think people want to see the title change.
Yeah,
as well.
Yep. All right, I'm going to throw it to the interview that I did with Paul Fontaine and Jeff Hawkins from the Dynamite Show. We ran down the entire card. We talked about wins and losses, what we think is going to happen, and this is we'll tease this. Jeff has a crazy hypothesis / hot take to start the show that is going to blow people's minds. So that's the tease for that segment. But for John and I, we are done here, but we're going to throw it to my interview earlier with those guys. As you can see here with me, we have Paul Fontaine and Jeff Hawkins, the hosts of the Dynamite Show, which is a AEW Dynamite, essentially a post-game show for every episode of Dynamite on the Fight Game Media Network Patreon. Fellas, we just got done watching the go-home show to Full Gear, and I want to get your thoughts on some of the main angles and the main matches going into that show, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the other matches that I don't think are that important, but we'll get through a lot of this stuff. But first of all, Jeff, this is your first time on this show, so welcome.
Hi.
Paul was with me when we did the Crown Jewel show week and a half ago or so.
Yeah,
so
fun.
Welcome back. All right.
Thank you.
So we're gonna start out hot because Jeff has a hot take. It's a hot hypothesis concerning a line that MJF said in the promo tonight when John Moxley was beat up by The Firm. Jeff, I can't do it any more justice than that. So why don't you just go and share the thoughts that came to your mind as these words came out of MJF.
I have another weird hypothesis that we'll bring up when we talk about the main event angle, but just watching this go-home promo, the first two lines, the first line MJF used was the exact line word for word CM Punk used when he joined the Nexus. John, I hope you're laying there in a tremendous, you can hear me, and you're laying there in a tremendous amount of pain. Now, most people, at first I viewed that as, okay, yet another dig at CM Punk that AEW's taking, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said the greatest trick the devil ever pulled is that he didn't exist, which is both the usual suspects and also CM Punk Raven from Ring of Honor. But when I said that, a Twitter follower of mine replied to me and goes, yeah, but he's quoting CM Punk. And I went, yeah, you're right. What if...
This is hot.
Rubber room time. Yeah, no, I get that. What if we've all been worked in some way? What if this has all been a tremendous work to believe that CM Punk's never coming back to AEW? And that this is maybe a little hint that he's there. Look, the fight's been reported by a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. I am not going out there and saying this is what's happening. And that, you know, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a man of letters, and I build cases and things like that. But it was just one of those things where it's just like, boy, wouldn't that be something if the devil that we're thinking doesn't exist is actually CM Punk here. And that's just it. I mean, I think people would turn on Tony pretty quickly if that happened. Trust me.
Yes.
But it's just something clever to think about. I got far more out there.
Well, the thing that I like about it is it is the takes that happen on Twitter. Like, people will put these clips of matches where, you know, certain wrestler's favorite wrestler, and then he kind of does a spot out of a famous match, and they compare him. They go, oh, look, you know, and like when we were younger, like, we may have like called it out, but we just had our VCR tape, and, you know, we're just telling ourselves that this stuff happened, and people can share it with all their Twitter followers, and then it goes viral. So all that stuff is great, and that's why I like the take, because it is something that can kind of fester out there. And then it kind of creates a little bit more of an intrigue. And I will say, I, this is coming from my heart. What you just said is way more interesting than what they did for 2 hours tonight.
No, the internet is undefeated in terms of interesting angles and putting things together. Like, there's nothing better than when AEW just drops a storyline. They go, no, it's long-term storytelling when they remember it. And, you know, it's... The internet has lots of fascinating theories, and it's like being on the old television with pity message board, where it's like, man, what do you think is going to happen at the end of Breaking Bad? Well, I think Gus Fring is going to go and blah, blah, blah. You know, those things are far more interesting oftentimes, not Breaking Bad necessarily, because that was a pretty awesome ending, but, you know, they come up, fans of things come up with far more interesting theories than sometimes what they do. And it's usually far more straight ahead. And I realize that. That's why I'm not saying, oh, this is what I think is going to happen.
No, I mean, it would be tremendous. It would be the...
How would you feel, though? How would you feel if this was all just for show?
So I would laugh at first in like a nervous way. And then I'd be frustrated, like, yes, what I imagine the fan base would be. And so that's why it's hard to think that this is what. But again, like, just the theory, the fan theory, the hypothesis, like, that takes some connection to a product. And so I like that you brought up the message board thing, because the reason why that stuff is important, or was maybe back in the day a little bit more than today, you had to be a real fan of this show and watch so in-depthly to even come up with something like that. So... The fact that you did just means that you also watch very closely. And I would have never called out the CM Punk Nexus promo. It would have never crossed my mind. And it's not like I didn't watch that stuff, but like, this is something that you're good at. So I appreciate the effort, and it's very creative. And again, it was way more interesting than anything.
I look forward to all the message board negativity about my statement right there.
Would it be any worse than what they did at Double or Nothing with MJF, you know, threatening to leave
Well, Mox called it out, right? He said your Pillman stuff, right?
Yeah, and would it play into the stuff that Tony said before All Out, where he said we're going to do more reality-based angles?
Oh, we're going back down this road.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, It adds up. I don't think it's happening, but put it this way. Certainly wouldn't be the most surprising thing that happened in 2022.
So maybe Punk is the real Pillman and MJF is the fake Pillman.
Oh.
All right. So let's actually talk about this main event, because I don't know anything. I've not talked to Jon Moxley about wrestling in 3 or 4 months, so I've no information about this match in general. But when I watch him, and when I thought he had a really bad night tonight, by the way, he fumbled words, he forgot stuff, he didn't hit his mark, he was supposed to stay in the middle of the ring and he left and he had to come back, he had a bad night. But I also sense that he's not, it's not that he's not invested in what they're doing. I think he knows that it's his job, but I sense that he is protecting. I think Jonathan Good is protecting the Jon Moxley character a little bit, because he has kind of been, he was supposed to be, you know, his character was supposed to be put to pasture like 3 different times. And because they keep screwing things up, he's had to come back and be champ. So I sense that there's a little bit of like, you know, I'm going to put this guy over, but I need something to hold on to so that, you know, when I regroup and everything, I'm still good. But that was the one thing that I saw tonight. And the second thing was, I feel like MJF ran out of material. Like, he's been tremendous, but he's also been given like 15 minutes to just go out there and go, right? And he had less time. He had to share the stage. And it seemed like because of that, whatever he had put together just wasn't as great of a story or great of a promo as we usually see. So all that being said, I want to know your guys' feelings on this match. And Paul, you can go ahead and tell me what you think about, you know, what's going to happen here. Is it, I'm assuming that you're kind of disappointed in the build like I am, but
I don't want to put words in your mouth. I said like before tonight that, you know, this match, this pay-per-view was a one match show. And it was Mox MJF, and it was enough for me. Like, I've been really into this story the whole way. There's a lot of different ways they can go. There's different things they've built up, and, you know, and we come up with things in our own mind, and sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't. But I thought tonight they took a match that I was super excited about and made me way less interested in it. Between the attack on, you know, from the firm on Mox, which looked comical. Some of the strikes, like, they were barely touching him, and Mox's selling was like non-existent. And then, so when MJF did that line about, I hope you're in pain, I'm like, did you watch the attack? And then, like, the guys coming out and running down, and Jeff compared it to the way The Rock would make saves in the stuff you're reviewing right now on Viking Media Patreon, where the guys would come one at a time and he'd just lay him down with one punch. And then the stuff with Ethan Page, who might be challenging for the title in a couple weeks, it was just comical.
I think you killed the live crowd tonight.
Oh, well, I think the live crowd was killed a long time before that. But I expected MJF to get them back, and he didn't.
Yeah.
I think they got killed when they found out the Elite wasn't there. Personally, I think they kind of dropped after that. And then the Britt Baker promo didn't, you know, confuse them. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened tonight. But I think here's the thing I said on the Dynamite show. I think the most surprising thing that could happen on the pay-per-view would be that Jon Moxley and MJF have like a 25-30 minute match, good match that ends clean.
Yeah.
You know, like with no angle. Like, we're all expecting something to happen, right? And we're all expecting MJF to win, and that, you know, the fact whether he's a heel or a babyface, I don't know. I expect him to be a heel coming out of this.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people are expecting him to be a babyface. So I don't know what they can do, but I still have faith in their track record so far, but they're testing it.
Jeff, do you think that this MJF character, and I don't know if you guys saw the post video, but MJF, I saw Nick posted in our Facebook group because he was there. MJF did the whole call and response thing with the crowd. Are you here to see John Moxley? Boo. Are you here? Were you here to see MJF? And cheers at the end of the show.
You have just walked into a trap because I talked about this on Dynamite in that they have a problem with call and response heels.
Yeah.
In AEW between Britt and her DMD. And then who was Swerve. The other one tonight, Paul? Swerve. Whose house? Swerve's house. They have a real problem with this. And it ends up turning people.
So here's my question to you, which is MJF leading up to this match with John Moxley, he was a heel who the fans reacted to because he's just such a great speaker. He's such a great promo. And he's done babyface things in this build with Moxley. And so I think a lot of the fans aren't reacting to it like maybe they thought they would, because they don't want to buy into it knowing what we think is going to happen at the pay-per-view. And so he was getting a little bit of a tepid response tonight to the stuff that he was doing, which, like, him saving Moxley in a different wrestling universe, it gets the biggest pop of the night and fans are going crazy, like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But this kind of smart and slightly cynical fan base goes, they're trying this to trick this, us. Yes, I'm not this, sure this, what's going
yeah,
on
this here. Crowd's ahead of them, and they just assume this is all for show, and they're waiting for the rug to be pulled. And I think that's the general weakness of this pay-per-view and the pay-per-view build is that it's not a match that we're paying to see. We're paying to see the angle.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's not a very hot one either. The way I described this go-home promo by Mox, God bless him, was it felt like this was the dress rehearsal. And that, okay, I'm going to have another chance to go out there now. I mean, you're forgetting the date of the preview. I will forgive that in some ways, but I just don't know. And Paul and I were talking about this as well, but just don't know if the lackadaisical thing where he's kind of being dismissive and stuff, don't know if that's a character choice or if that's an energy choice. And that's also a little bit confusing to me as well. Most of this card has no heat to it whatsoever. And that's also a problem. People are going to pay to see the matches. I get that. But at the same time, I mean, it's a major red flag to me that you know, AEW has a problem with promos. I've kind of said that Tony has great ingredients, but he doesn't necessarily know how to cook or put them all together at times because these builds are terrible. He has 3 months to build programs, and we're waiting until a week, week and a half to really get it going or whatever, as opposed to, say, the old territory version, like Crockett, you used to have one, but then they went to two pay-per-views where you had the Bash in the summer and you had Starcade in the winter. And then you had 4 months of just cutting promos and slow step-by-step builds. And then everybody's dying to see the match and the blow off. And then we go to something else. It feels like a lot of this card up and down is doing the thing that the Attitude Era in the mid-90s had a real problem with, was they booked pay-per-views to then get you to watch the free television. And I think that's what everybody's waiting for here. Everybody wants to see what happens with MJF, but they don't necessarily want to see the match. And I think I would not be surprised if this pay-per-view buy rate was really weak. I mean, like, surprisingly weak.
So I looked into this because Dave Meltzer posted on Twitter the other day. He's like,
asked about 135,000.
135, right? Over, under. And I said way under.
I said under. I think it's under 100. I'll go that low.
I said slightly over because I think I'm maybe overestimating MJF as a draw.
Well, okay, so that's the positive to this thing, right?
Yeah.
If this character's over, if he is the one that the fans want to see win the title, then guessing the over is not a bad guess. However, that would also be higher in a pay-per-view buy rate, or higher in pay-per-view buys than the last pay-per-view, which had CM Punk on it, and he's not on this show. So they would have to outdo that show, which was kind of a disappointing number in of itself. But I picked under just because I'm just not, some of it is I was at the last two AEW pay-per-views. So there's a little bit more when you're there, there's a little bit more, you're with the like-minded fans and they're all excited. So you feel a little bit more, and I'm not there this time, but just seeing our message, or not our message board, but the group, and seeing how few people are posting in the threads these days about this show, there's a little bit of information there that helps me guess. But I'm just not feeling like this doesn't feel like a special, special show. And that's why I picked under, but I'm hopeful that, that something clicked with some of these people. Cause you always want to see the business be strong, but yeah. Okay. So we're all thinking MJF is taking this title, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so the next match I want to talk about a little bit more in detail is this Elite versus the Death Triangle. And the match in of itself will be fine. It'll be what we saw already at the last pay-per-view. But the intrigue is this weirdo angle that they're doing that they're not telling anybody about. There's no information. You have to be an internet fan to know what's going on. And they're kind of teasing the internet fan a little bit by not showing these guys' faces as if, you know, to say, well, you're going to have to pay for the show if you want to see him. And then they put the stupid graphic up tonight, which you now you killed all the intrigue or any of the mystery by putting the graphic up. You might as well have put them on the show. I didn't get that at all.
Oh my joke was that Pac came out just to ruin it. And he said, hey, come on, you all know what it is. And the guy in the production truck went, well, put up the graphic. I guess yeah. You know, I guess that's all we can do right now.
I mean, the natural thing to do would be, you know, we'll be there, you know, and you know, if you guys, we know who you are, if you want to fight, we'll be there waiting.
Yeah.
And then don't put the graphic up. I think that would have been a more
Cutler,
compelling
Nakazawa,
thing.
Don Callis, and a six-man or...
Okay, yeah. So I get why he's going to this one too many times, in my opinion. It's because it's worked for him in the past. Yeah. This surprise, you know, kind of leading the fan. Like, the fans know, but you're not exactly telling them. And it has worked in the past, so I get going to it. But then putting the graphic up was weird. It was almost like he was hedging. He was like, should I do it? Should I not? What's going on here? What do I need to do? I want to sell this match. But then I don't want to actually give it to them on TV. Like, it was weird. It was a weird decision.
It was a half-assed tease. It really was.
Well, it wasn't a tease at all.
Well, no. Well, actually, you're right there.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. No, but it was one of those things where it's like, oh, we're going to get the big crowd pop. It's almost like they scripted this. And it's here's where the crowd's going to pop huge and everybody's going to want to buy the show.
Yeah, and they did.
And they just went, yeah, we knew that already.
Because I think the moment they put that graphic up, it was like, oh, crap, we're not going to get to see them. So they kind of, there was like that little pop and then it was like, oh.
But this is another one where, at least I feel like we kind of know the result, like put the belts back on the Elite. We're going to get doing what we had been wanting to do this whole time and just start from scratch again. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. And really, the intrigue is just them being back. How do they look? Are they heels? Are they mad? Is there anything related to, you know, why they were gone? Are the announcers going to say anything? That's the only thing I'm interested in. Like, who cares if they win the titles? These titles are... You know, they're fun matches, but they don't really mean much. So, you know, again, the result isn't the important thing here.
I had forgotten that was the match on the last pay-per-view. So that's two matches on this show that we saw at the last pay-per-view.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So quick hitters here, because this is important, at least to me, because I think the Acclaimed are...
Oh, wait, can I get my pick on this thing?
Oh, sorry.
It's going to be a great match where the Lucha Brothers are going to give a lot to, you know, right before Pac hits Phoenix with a hammer, and then everybody's going to be disappointed by the ending.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so then the Acclaimed against Swerve in Our Glory for the tag team titles. The Acclaimed are unique in that they gave them the ball and they were like, run. And there's a lot of other young talent who they've been like, you're going to get this far. We're not going to let you go. But the Acclaimed are not that. They've actually. So I feel like, you know, they're even I heard, I think Dave mentioned that, you know, their stuff was doing a little bit better ratings wise than some other stuff. So that's a positive thing. I don't even care because I just like the fact that they're this homegrown team. We haven't been beat over the head with these guys over the last 10 years, like some of the other wrestlers on this in this company. But the thing about this match, too, is I think we expect an angle coming out of this match, too. Right. Like there's some Swerve and Keith Lee stuff that people have been thinking that's happening for the last like two or three shows. And it hasn't happened. And maybe it happens here. But this is the rematch of their great match, right? Or the rematch to the rematch, I think.
It feels like the rematch to the rematch to the rematch to the rematch. It's been a 50-50 build like up in Stamford, and it's been the law of diminishing returns ever since that first hot match. Now, good for the Acclaim, they're kind of AEW's New Age Outlaws, and there's a problem within that, is that they're a very entertaining, very over group, but you got a lot of teams in there that are very, very good. And it's like, and so you get this kind of fan base asking, well, why are they holding on to the titles when these other teams are so much better than them?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're asking that yet, but I think
it's getting there.
Yeah. It will get there. There will be a point in this run where the fans turn on them a little bit.
Yeah, where they beat FTR clean as a sheet or something. Right. Yeah. Everybody goes. Well,
the thing that I'm seeing is that they're making a choice right now of writing Billy Gunn out of these matches at the start of the match. They've done it twice in a row now, and it's kind of killing the crowd because they want to see Billy. They want to chant, "Oh, scissor daddy. Yeah. And then, you know, they tried it tonight and it didn't catch. And so the matches themselves don't have a lot of heat. I don't think they'll do that at the pay-per-view. I think we're going to see a very different crowd on Saturday or Sunday.
I hope. If they better.
It
better be a different crowd.
This almost felt like a WWE crowd. I got to be honest with you.
Well, there wasn't very many people. Nick said 2,000.
That's what his guess was, and there was lots of photos where
there tarps.
Yeah. Well, it was. I don't know if it was a tarp or not, but you'd see like the bottom section, and then as it went up, there was like nobody there. So So, what do you think they're gonna do creative wise? Who wins this match? Do the Acclaimed keep the titles? Do they switch the titles so that we keep this feud going? It doesn't seem like that's the best case because, like Jeff said, there's so many tag teams that can be the next match.
I think the Acclaimed win clean, and there's dissension teased, but we don't actually see the breakup until, you know, maybe Dynamite or sometime after.
No, I think they do that here. I think probably like Keith Lee ends up costing Swerve the match, and then they just do the breakup here.
Yeah, that Swerve and Keith Lee match, I'm not too sure about that when it comes. Follow-up, it reminds me of Hobbs and Starks, which gives me bad memories.
I'd be here for Keith Lee turning full-on heel here.
That's what I thought, too.
That'd be the most interesting choice, I think.
So the two of them as a heel, and maybe like they actually win the belts?
No.
Oh,
they don't win the belt. They don't win the belts, but Keith Lee just decides the hell with this. I'm going full heel.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
What is his catchphrase? His one word,
indubitably. And
there you go. I wanted to end that with the word, but I forgot it. It feels like it's Jamie Hayter's time. Yes.
Yep.
What do you think, Jeff?
It's AEW policy to miss the guy's off ramp and then try and come back to it. But here we are coming back to it. So yes. You got to do it. You got to do it here, especially since you're turning Britt babyface.
Yeah. Well, or Britt's turning herself babyface, or maybe Soraya's turning everybody else babyface.
It's all of that. But yes,
it's a mixing pot of stuff.
Tony, look, I don't know.
Britt eliminated all doubt tonight.
all these big surprises that they've gotten from the other company, and not a one of them is taken because of the treatment of them. And now they're all turn. I mean, I think Tony may turn heel eventually here down here, too. We already just turned Athena. Soraya's doing her own good job of turning herself heel, and now we got Tony doing it. It's just, Tony Ruby hasn't been anything as a champ, and we were all excited for her to come in and finally have a shot to do something, and it's just there, man.
So we have this ROH title match, and since Paul is the historian, I'll let him go first. I don't like the fatal four-way aspect of this match, but I think they'll make it so that it is a good match. I would have rather seen Jericho and Claudio and maybe figure out something else for Danielson and Guevara, because they did those matches on TV already. But you have two ex-ROH champions in this match, so if you wanted to tell that storyline of, you know, the ROH champion coming back, I feel it's better told in a one-on-one match. So I don't imagine Jericho's losing here, but I don't know. What do you guys think, Paul?
I'm gonna steal Jeff's thought.
No.
Well, what am I gonna say? If I agree with you that I think it's gonna happen, just because it was your thought, he asked me first. It's a no DQ match.
Yeah.
So Jericho's gonna hit somebody with a belt. I think he's gonna hit, or with the bat. I mean.
Well, but they ruined the bat is dead. He hit.
No. That's Chekhov's bat. It's just been introduced in the first act. It's gonna come back in the third
because he would have got DQ'd.
Yeah.
So
Danielson like shook it off like it was like a slap to the face. Yeah. Like it didn't even bother.
You turn your neck when you get pile driven. You know, it's all of that. They're teaching.
He knocks out Sammy with the bat, and then. But here's the question where Jeff is going to disagree. Claudio pins Sammy to win the belt after Jericho knocks him out. And then Adam Cole shows up to challenge Claudio at Final Battle. That's my guess.
What do you think, Jeff? Did he steal your exact take?
No. My exact take was that Jericho uses the bat on Sammy and pins him.
That's interesting. He's sneaky. I like
Adam Cole coming back though.
Okay, so this has been my prediction going back weeks and weeks and weeks. Because when I looked at that ROH,
both of you.
When I looked at that ROH champions list, I go, okay, a lot of these are fun. There are really fun ones you could bring back if they wanted to. But there's one guy who stands out as a possible main eventer, and that's Adam Cole. So that's why I thought I hope that he's ready to come back, and that would be a nice little surprise for the crowd that I think that one that they are wanting actually. So I'm all for that. I would love to see Adam Cole be the guy to beat Jericho, but then again, can he be a babyface? Cause the babyface has got to beat Jericho, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said Claudio.
Jay Briscoe is the guy to cut promos here and beat him, but that won't happen. But,
that would just blow that. Well, let's
put it this way. If Britt Baker is turning babyface, why not the boyfriend, too? They bring out their Owen belts and
do
joint promos like they were doing before. And
there you go. All right.
They can babysit their kids.
So two more. We're not going to get to all of them, but just two more. The ones that I think are the most interesting. We've talked about it a little bit. Britt Baker and Saraya. Britt was the underdog hometown babyface of all babyfaces tonight. Saraya tried to walk it back, but still did not work. She just was very defensive. Even her best friend, Renee, could not help her tonight. And so I like the fact that we have a women's match and there doesn't have to be a title for it. I think that's great. Are they going to lean into this Brit thing, which is my question, and that this is for you, Jeff, because can you beat Saraya in her return match? Because if she wins, unless it's a great match, if she has a great performance and it's a great match, maybe she's going to be able to win that crowd. But I can't imagine this crowd is going to be behind her in this match.
You know, in the 80s, they just say, send her out there, and depending on the reaction, we'll change the finish.
There you go.
I would probably hold off on picking a finish here. I really would, because you don't know. And, boy, I do not want to see Saraya cutting. I used to be in WWE where they were bigger stars. Just get that cheap heat. I really don't. I think you got to go with the straight ahead. I think she needs to beat Britt here. I really do. I mean, the stories that they love to tell in wrestling right now are she gave a noble effort and still lost.
Yeah.
But those don't work anymore because no one has any emotional resonance in those stories. It's just, you got beat. And they don't know how to build them back up after getting beat again. So I would say let Britt do the honors for right now, and then we're going to be able to build her up as a title contender against Hayter. It's very easy. She's not going to lose anything out of that.
What do you think, Paul?
I agree. I don't think you can beat Saraya on her first match back, but I think the crowd is going to hate that finish.
Yep.
I think they're not going to like Saraya to begin with.
Yeah.
And Britt's going to be a massive baby face. I expect some sort of interference, maybe Tony, maybe Thunder Rosa. Yeah, like somebody attacking Britt, you know, like one of her enemies. And then that leading to the finish, and then, you know, and then that leads to wherever they're going. Britt as the beltless person in that group could be an interesting dynamic as well. So
if I had any confidence that this match was going to be a really good match, you could do the Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch thing from SummerSlam where you do the handshake and it's completely fine. And it's about respect. It's like, okay, I underestimated you. You know, you're great. You're great. The problem is the match has to be good. And, and Saraya has to, like, you know, be the kick out of stuff and show her heart and all of those things. I'm not convinced that that's going to be good enough, but we'll see, because, you know, I'm sure they're thinking the same things we're thinking, right? Like, that's, this has got to be like,
they got a mess on their hands is what they have.
Yeah. When you said Bianca and Becky at SummerSlam, I was thinking about the first one.
Oh, the first one.
Just the punch and then 24 the match is seconds.
Boom.
Yeah.
Welcome they go to AEW, shake hands, man, you know.
Brad decks her and pins her and
All right. Last one I want to go over, and this is one that I'm not going to be excited about this match. I'm not excited about the steel cage stipulation. I don't think it's necessary. My worry here is that the only reason the cage exists is so that Christian Cage can find a way to interfere and be even more of a dick than he currently is. And he said it on the, was it him? No, it was Renee. It was Renee who said it in the video package tonight. She said it has to be in a cage so that nobody can get in. And, you know, it's just one-on-one. And she was focusing on that part, which told me Christian Cage is absolutely getting in this match, involved in this match somehow. And I'm not the world's biggest Luchasaurus fan. I think people who listen to me know that. And I am a big Jack Perry fan, but it's been rough as a Jack Perry fan this entire year. I did watch some Pluto TV the other day, threw it on the 90210 channel, watched his pops. I was like, man, if he had the charisma of his pops, this guy'd be the top star in the business. All right. All that said,
Brooding, Jack.
My worry is that Jungle Boy, even with a win, like he's not getting much here. So we're building to Christian and Jungle Boy. So I kind of think Luchasaurus is winning. I don't know. I don't even know really what to think, but was interested in what you guys thought.
Can I go, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that this cage match is building to Jack doing something crazy on the cage.
Sure. Absolutely.
Much like I use the example of Cody versus Wardlow and the Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks. And I think it's going to be something dangerous and crazy off of this cage for the big thing. Because I don't think Christian Cage can do anything physical just yet. I don't think he's been cleared. That's the issue I have with it. And I'm a little worried, to be honest with you. My reference was a little unthoughtful at the time, but it was just like, well, what's the over under on Jack getting an injury where he's out for 6 months in this match because he tries something that he probably has no business trying. And I'm not hoping he's injured, but I think he's going to try and go big on this for a moment.
Dinosaur having to catch him.
Well, but Luchasaurus is always willing to do that kind of stuff too. I mean, he's game for that. So I could see him saying, yeah, sure, let's try it. Why not? I think Jack Perry has to win this match, quite frankly, because he is so ice cold in terms of this angle. And it has been the entire time. Look, I love Christian in the turtleneck. I love the Gary Hart vibes at times, but.
And being a tall human compared to everybody else.
Yes. I mean, he's a giant. I mean, it's almost like JJ with Tully, where you would look at him and go, my God, you're bigger than he is. But he needs a big win. And it's weird that he's probably the coldest of all the pillars.
Yeah.
Supposedly here. And it's like, well, he's been the young guy for 3 years now of AEW. When are we going to put the rocket to him and give him some big wins and see what he can do as a quote unquote star? And I think we got to do it sometime. I think here's pretty much a good place to start.
Go for it, Paul.
I think his match will surprise people. I said on the Dynamite show that I thought it might steal the show. I think most people are expecting the Trios title match to do that, but I just went out on a limb and said this. I hope nobody gets hurt. I definitely think there's a possibility. I also had a wild theory. I didn't say it on our show, but maybe this is leading to like a Tony Khan dream match of Cage on a pole.
Oh my God.
Did Jeff just leave?
No. Don't even put that out there. We're already getting King of the Hill matches and or King of the Mountain matches.
Oh my god. NXT, so. Yeah. Cage on a pole. Christian Cage on a pole.
My goodness.
Yeah.
All right. So the other matches, which we don't really need to talk about this, but Ethan Page, he still does not have the other person in his bracket yet, and we are a few days away from this pay per view. There's the Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose with this nutty build of Jade not being able to get her belt back, yeah. And then there's the Jarrett and Lethal versus Sting and Darby Allin. They spent a little bit of time on it today. Jarrett only got to cut about a 15-second promo.
He cut the Wayne Bloom promo. I'll handle this.
Don't wind me up.
I think there will be intrigue there. You know, you'll get that.
Oh, I think this match steals the show. I think Crazy Sting's going to jump off a balcony, and sure. I think Lethal and Darby will be great, and Jarrett's been saying his prayers and eating his vitamins. And he looked good in the Flair match. I mean, Flair was the problem in the last Flair match. It wasn't Jarrett. Jarrett's going to bleed. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to bleed here, and it's going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be far more interesting than people give it credit for.
We said this was the best built match on the show.
Yes.
I don't mind it at all, as long as it's kind of a special thing and Jeff Jarrett doesn't become a weekly character. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know what I expect to happen, but I think it'll be fun.
Sting's going to slam somebody. What's going to happen.
It'll just be fun because it has the nostalgia, and it has two really good wrestlers in it at the same time, so it's usually a good mix. And then the last match is Wardlow and Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs. Joe got to cut his heel promo. Wardlow, the babyface, attacked him from behind. Hobbs, the heel, attacked everyone from the front. I was very confused watching. I was like, wow, this is a little bit reverse.
They're big guys. They're not smart guys. So
Joe blatantly gave away the surprise attack.
Yes.
Keeping looking behind his back.
Where is he? Yeah. Did he miss his cue?
So ultimately, last question I have for you. Scale of 1 to 10, what is your interest going into not Sunday, but Saturday?
Four.
Wow. That's amazing.
That was my first instinct as well. Mine's a four.
That tells you, for two guys who watch every single episode of Dynamite in heavy detail, you guys are watching for stuff that, you know, people who aren't taking notes and doing a show aren't catching. So that is not a good sign for me. I'm a little bit higher, but I get it. I completely get it. If I wasn't having friends over on Sunday night, or Saturday, sorry, I'm screwing up too. If I wasn't having friends over on Saturday night and it wasn't like wrestling night, I wouldn't say it's skippable, but it's not quite WWE non big five show where I'm like, oh, like I'll watch it at some point in the evening on in the background. Though those shows are getting a little bit better. But yeah.
It feels like all these matches are going to be a bit overbooked.
Yeah.
If you had asked me, and you saw the post that I did in the Fight Game group earlier in the week when AEW sent out the official card, I was a lot higher on it 3 days ago than I am today. So I would have probably said six and a half.
Yeah. He cooled down on the go home show.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
Not good, but maybe they will over deliver. That sometimes can happen, and then people forget about the entire build because they like the show.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so check out Jeff and Paul up. Usually, I would say about 2 to 3 hours after the East Coast viewing of Dynamite is up, their thoughts, they go over the show in detail, all the AEW news, all the AEW stuff that's going on, and that is on the Patreon, Fight Game Media. You can see the link there on video. Patreon.com/Fight Game Media. Thank you guys for doing this. In the future, I would like to do this again, you know, maybe for other big shows, and we can kind of do little previews like this. All right. So for Jeff and Paul, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.